You're listening to a podcast from Victory. What does it mean to misuse God's name? Find out in week 3 of 10.
Magandang hapon po sa inyo lahat. Welcome po.
We are on the third installment of our series entitled 10, Perfect Law, Perfect Love. And this series really is all about the 10 commandments, no? And we hope, okay, our prayer is that through this series, we will have a better picture of God's love towards His people. And I'm not just talking about Israel, but to those who have come into a relationship with God, that we will have a better picture of His love as we look at the giving of His commandments, okay? The Ten Commandments. And hopefully, it will encourage us to live a life that will honor God, that would bring worship to Him, okay? A life of obedience to God. That is our hope to happen in this series. And it's important for us to understand that the law was given in the context of relationship. Very important po na maintindihan natin yon. Kasi kung hindi, ang laws ni God magiging do's and don'ts lang sa atin. Instead na magiging picture of grace siya sa atin na ma-appreciate natin, magiging burden siya. And a sad reality that some really felt like God's laws are a burden to them. Simply because they failed to see, you know, the heart of God, the grace that comes along the giving of the law, because the law was given in the context of relationship. In fact, if you look at the summary, the entire summary of Exodus, ito po yung outline ng buong Exodus, nung sinulat to. Okay, chapters 1 to 18 talks about God's salvation, okay? How God saved and delivered Israel from slavery, from the bondage in Egypt. And then chapters 19 to 24 talks about the giving of the law. Now, why is this so significant? Because, you see, the law was given after God saved His people. This clearly tells us that the law does not produce salvation, but rather, through God's salvation, we will begin to understand and appreciate the laws and the instructions that He's going to give us. Are you with me? So, ganun po ka-significant tong commandments na to. And then, the chapters 25 to 40 really talks about how we should respond to God's salvation and the laws that He is giving us. And that is really worship. You know, when you move or when you send your children, halimbawa, galing kayo ng probinsya and magka-college na yung anak mo and you send them to a university, okay, in another city or town, as a good parent, you would always give instructions to your children. Tama po ba? Ganun din po itong context nito. Because God loves His people as they were entering into a new land. Okay? A land that has been occupied by pagan and the practices of worship are so scary to the point that they would burn their children as a sacrifice to false gods. That was the land that God was bringing them, yet it was a land full of milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey. And so God was giving them these instructions. And because of that covenant relationship, these instructions were not burdensome to them, but really was a picture of God's love and God's grace to them. And if you look at the commandments, the Ten Commandments, it was given in such a way, kumbaga parang pag tinignan mo, parang negative yung stance niya, no? You shall have no other gods, do not do this, you do not murder, do not give false testimony. It's all about, you know, telling them, don't do this. And ganun din po tayo, diba, sa mga anak natin. Okay, oh, wag mong gawin to, ha? Wag kang mag-ingat ka. Wag kang mag-join ng mga fraternity or whatever, ganun. But doesn't mean that it's a burden law. But really, it's a display of God's grace. In fact, if we look at Titus, and I'm just trying to set up really a background here for us to really understand as we progress in this series. Titus tells us, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God. And it says that it teaches us what the grace of God should teach us to say, come on, no to ungodliness. That's what the grace of God should teach us, to say no to sins, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's why when God said, do not do this, do not do that, okay, don't you do this, God, in His grace, He was teaching His people so that they will be able to live godly lives. in a time where they were in a transition. And it's very important to see God's command in such a manner, in the context of a loving relationship. It is a covenant that God has with His people. I want us to look at the Ten Commandments, and I hope that in the next remaining 7 Sundays, ma-memorize natin to, talagang ma-put natin to sa heart natin. No? Okay, so here are the Ten Commandments, and you'll find this in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. The first 4, it says there, pwede ba natin basahin lahat to? You shall have no other gods before me. Second command, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. Come on, let's all read this. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We're going to talk about that later. And then commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, these first 4 commands, it talks about our relationship to God, our relationship with Him. And that's how it's being arranged, no? The last 6 talks about our relationship with others. Now let us continue. Commandment number 5, honor your father and mother. Commandment number 6, you shall not murder, right? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Okay, so, and it's interesting, if you look at the entire 10, the first 4, talks about our relationship with God. The last 5 talks about our relationship with other people. And in between God and other people is the family. Okay? It's like, you know, the ordering of the priority of relationships. God should be first, and then family, and then other people. Okay, so that's how God set these commands, no? And it's amazing. And so, 3 Sundays ago, we talked about the first command, okay, you shall have no other gods. And then last Sunday, we talked about the second command, okay, no carved image, okay, that you shall not have any idols in the form of anything. And today, we're going to talk about not using God's name in vain, okay, that we should not use God's name in vain. I want to ask everyone if you could stand on your feet and let's read our text for today. I'd like to read in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and then verse 7. Why don't we all read this together? Ready, go. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Let us pray for a while. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We open our hearts to the preaching and the ministry of your word, Lord. Speak to us, God. Give us ears to hear what you want to say and eyes to see what you want to show us, Lord. And let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may go ahead and have a seat. What's in a name? Why is God so picky and so sensitive about his name? What is in the name of God? Anyway, okay, so in a Jewish thought, actually in a Jewish mind, a name is not just merely a random designation or title, all right, for a person, given to a person or a thing. But in fact, it conveys the nature and the very essence of that person or that thing. And that's why when altars were set up, altars were named, okay, on what happened to that particular altar. Okay, so for example, when Abraham brought Isaac, offered it in the altar of Moriah, he set up an altar there and he said, in the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And so that place, that altar was called God is Provider. And many other altars will set up. Okay, it's because of the nature and the essence of what happened there. Not only that, the names among the Jewish people really talks about purpose and destiny. For example, Abraham. Yung unang pangalan niya, Abram, which means exalted father, pero wala siyang anak. But then God changed his name and told him that his name will be Abraham, meaning a father of many nations. It was his purpose and it was his destiny that he will be a father to many nations. Jacob also was named because how he came out from the womb, that he was holding the heel of his brother. And that's why he was called Jacob, meaning deceiver, or he grasped the heel. But then, later on in his life, his name was changed to Israel, meaning that he grasps God or he wrestles with God and he overcome. He succeeded. It means that now he's no longer a liar, deceiver. Now he has broken through, experiencing the blessing of God in his life. The same way in the New Testament, when Peter's name was changed from Simon to Peter. Okay, so, and many other names. Okay, so, kaya maraming iba gustong magpait ng pangalan, no? Lalo na pag medyo hindi nila nagustuhan yung mga pangalan nila, no? Lalo na pag ang pangalan nila ay Pilipinong-Pilipino. Okay? And then, napunta sila sa abroad, nag-ibang bansa sila. Gaya ni Eleuterio Ignacio, yun ang pangalan niya dito. Pero nung pumunta na siya sa States, iba na yung pangalan niya. Electronic Ignition na. From Eleuterio Ignacio to Electronic Ignition, ba? Social, di ba? So, at least English. But what's in a name? There are three basic implications that I want us to understand. Certainly there's more, but quickly, three basic implications of what is in a name. Number one, relationships. A name defines and describes relationship. Can you say that with me? Relationships. When you call someone Papa, it is because you have a relationship with that person. When you call someone else Mama or Mommy or Daddy, it speaks of a relationship. It's not just a title because yung tao nagkaroon ng anak. It's really that relationship. It's more to just being a title. When you call someone Lolo or Ate, okay, it's because there is a relationship there. When you call someone sweetheart or honey, oh, di ba? Hindi po lahat ng tao tatawagin mong sweetheart. Hindi po pwede yon. Pwede ba yun? You're a married man. Lima yung tinatawag mong sweetheart. Isa lang ibig sabihin nun, di ba? Alam nyo na yun. But really, because that title, that name carries relationship. And depending on the name, the more intimate the name, the greater intimate the relationship is. Okay, so I call my wife sweetheart. And she is my sweetheart. And pagka medyo shallow yung relationship, tawag mo Mama, o kaya Manong, o Manang. Or kung talagang wala kang relationship, psst na lang. Psst, psst, hoy. Kasi walang relationship. Alam naman tawagin mo sweetheart, yung driver. Sweetheart, driver, o, bayad ko. Hindi po, di ba? Mama, kuya. Okay, so, because names implies relationship. That's basic. And the way we use God's name reveals the degree of our relationship with Him. Okay? The way we use God's name implies or reveals the degree of our relationship with Him. And I want us to understand that God is serious about His name. God is serious about His relationship with His people, that He wants honor in the name that they are being called, that He is being called. And that's why verse 2 tells, I am the Lord your God. God is simply telling the Israelites, I am yours. There is a relationship there. This is not just some usual Egypt practice of worship lang or Canaan practice of worship. Now, you know, it's pure religion. It's empty worship. And sometimes the worship is born out of fear, out of things that para ma-bless sila and all that. Really, there's no relationship, deep, intimate relationship. But God wanted relationship. And by telling them, I am the Lord your God, you shall not use my name or misuse my name. He's telling the people the sincerity of the relationship that he would want to have with his people. Secondly, what's in a name basically implies rights. Can you say that with me? Rights. So first one, relationship. Second one, rights. You know, if your name is recorded in Fitness First and you are listed as a member, how many of you know you have the right to get into the gym, use every equipment you like, stay there anytime you want, you can go anytime. No one will stop you. Of course, siyempre, you can't come pag sarado na. But if you are a member, you have all the right. And it goes with any other club membership that you have. If you are a member of that club, so those who are not members, they can't get in or use any facility or enjoy amenities. But because you are a member, because your name is enlisted as a member, then you have certain rights. You enjoy certain privileges because of that name, okay, because you are a member. And that's the same way with God. Okay, God's name brings about not just relationship, but rights. If your name is registered in COMELEC, pwede kang mag-vote. Hopefully, sa isang presinto lang na lumabas yung pangalan mo, no? Kasi kung marami, flying voter ka. Okay, so, but if your name is there, you can begin to vote. Pag ang pangalan mo merong Arsena Perez, Kung ang middle name mo ay Arsena at ang last name mo ay Perez, pwede kang matulog sa bahay ko at tumira ng kung gusto mo, kahit gaano kahaba. Pwede mong kainin ang mga pagkain na inahanda ko. Okay, pwede kang humingi. Why? Because you carry my name. Right? So, if you have another name, baka visit. Pwede, okay? Makitulog isang gabi, hindi naman isang taon. So, if your name is God, the Lord, then definitely you have all the right to tell people what they should do and how that name should be treated. Because He is the Lord, He is God. And sometimes, we think like our name is Lord Donnie or Lord Ryan or Lord Vien. That we do what we want, whatever we want, whenever we want it. Like we act like we are God, no? But there's only one God. Bible tells us that if your name is written in the book of life, then you are sure to enter heaven. You have that right. You have that assurance, that promise that you will experience heaven. John 1:12 tells us, but to all who did receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And that verse right there carries, first it's a relationship, and then it comes with rights. Thirdly, reputation. Can you say that with me? Reputation. What's in a name? It implies relationship, rights, and reputation. Certain stores have some reputations, Under Armour, Starbucks, Jollibee. Okay, these stores carries reputation. Okay, and that's why, and they take care about their reputation by taking care about their brand. And sometimes there are some names or some brands that has become bigger than its product that it begins to take over the entire industry regarding that product. For example, may mga narinig niyo na ba yung mga tao parang bibili ng Pampers? Okay, pabili nga ng Pampers, yung Huggies ha, Pampers nga eh. Pampers is a brand. Okay, so, yung iba, pabili nga ng Colgate, yung close up po, yung Red Mint. Because the brand, its reputation has become bigger than its, yung item. And that's what reputation is all about. Okay, so, now, there are some names that carries a bad reputation. Surely, you will not name your son Hitler. Meron ba dito, pangalan mo Hitler? And why won't you name him Hitler? Because that name carries along a reputation. Surely you will not name your son Bin Laden. Di ba? Kawawa naman yung anak mo. Because that name carries on a reputation. Okay, so that happens sometimes, good or bad. Okay, so, you know, when you hear a name, it's not just about letters. Really, it's about reputation. There is a reputation, a character that comes with it. Pag naisip mo yung isang tao, naisip mo yung character niya, yung personality niya, the kind of person that he is. And it's all dependent on how much you know the person. Some people who don't know another person would make some conclusion based on how they have experienced and encountered a person. But those who know the person better intimately have many more things to say compared to a person na acquaintance lang, yung pagkakilala. You know, my children, all their names have a purpose and a destiny. Dorothy, she's here serving as a stage manager. Her name is Dorothy Ann. And that means, you know, the gift of God. Ann is grace. God's gift is really a display of His grace. We wanted her to name that because she was our firstborn. We were excited when she was conceived and she came out. And we want to remember that she is a gift to us. And sometimes I have to remind her that she is a gift from God, that she should act or conduct herself in such a manner. And that is her destiny, that, you know, the grace of God, that she will be a gift and a blessing to many. My second is named William Caleb. It means faithful protector. William meaning protector and Caleb meaning faithful or steadfast. You can see it in his personality na talagang protective siya. He's an over-protective. Okay? So talaga, to the point na talagang magkakakiskisan at magkakabanggaan siya. Kasi sabihin niya, no! Talagang very strong. Okay? So Caleb, alright? So we appreciate that. But, you know, sometimes there's discarded din minsan. No? My third is named Naomi Gail, which means pleasant source of joy. Naomi means pleasant, and Gail, a variant of Abigail, means source of joy. And she is, really, okay, she is a source of joy. She's full of life, okay, she always smiles and all that. my youngest, we named him Mark Gabriel. Mark meaning strong, Gabriel meaning man of God. And he is really strong. Okay, so sometimes, pag nag-resting siya ng kuya niya, talagang wala. Talagang magtatap yung kuya na, tama na. Okay, kahit na ang liit niya. No? Okay, so very, very active, competitive young man. Okay, so, but that's names. No? It speaks purpose and destiny, and it comes along relationship rights and reputation. And I want us to understand that our relationship with God really comes with rights to call on His name. And it carries a reputation that reflects God's character when we use that name. Now, God's name represents who He is, His identity, His character, and His authority. So how do we take God's name in vain? What are the examples wherein God's name can be taken in vain? Okay, so the word vain, actually in a Hebrew mind, when you define it regarding God, it means emptiness of speech, vanity, falsehood, lying, deceptive, uselessness. Okay, so yun pong ibig sabihin ng word na vain na yun, no? With regards to the name or the command to use God's name. It refers to treating the Lord, okay, Himself with for who He is, His character and His nature. And that's why it's important that you have to know this God. Because if you don't know this God, the way you will carry this name will probably dishonor it. That's why relationship is important. Now, how would you feel if your name is mispronounced or misspelled? This is a true experience, no, ng isang pastor natin, si Pastor Romel Sumaway po. Okay, yung voter's ID niya, okay, nakalagay Sumayaw Romel. Pero hindi po Sumayaw ang apelido niya, no? Ang apelido niya is Sumaway. So yung voter's ID niya, Sumayaw Romel. Okay, kaya pagpupunta siya ng sumasayaw siya kasi hindi. Pero pagdating doon sa list, tama yung pangalan niya. So nakakaboto siya. But anyway, minsan according to Pastor Jeff, kadalasan daw yung pangalan niya, Jeff Dacumos. Okay, nauwi sa Dacuscus or Damucus. Okay, so pero Jeff Dacumos siya talaga. Yung isang campus missionary natin na si Che, a very pretty woman. Che, ang last name niya is Sugkang, di ba? Madalas daw natatawag Sukang. Che Sukang. Ngayon masaya siya dahil may asawa na siya, Disagon na siya. Oh, di ba? So, Che Disagon na, hindi na Che Sukang. Sugkang. Okay, so, and sometimes, you know, we feel bad when our name is misspelled or mispronounced. Di po ba? And sometimes, lalo na pagka, yun nga, yung name na natin, medyo mahirap sometimes i-pronounce. Parang si Robert Chapchapingaw. Sino sa inyo nakakilala kay or nakarinig na kay Robert Chapchapingaw? Can you see your hands? Can you narinig na ba si Robert Chapchapingaw? Okay, so growing up, no, talagang laging tinatawag siya sa name niya and talagang minsan naiinis siya. Pinangako niya sarili niya na pag lumaki ako at magkapera ako, babaguhin ko yung pangalan ko. Kasi tinatawag siya lagi, Robert Chapchapingaw, wah! Tapos tinatawag na talagang, okay, all his life. That's why when the opportunity came na naging successful na siya at may pera, talagang pinabago niya yung pangalan niya kaysa NSO. Pinalitan niya yung pangalan. Hindi na Robert Chapchapingaw ang pangalan niya. Ang naging pangalan niya is Boyet Chapchapingaw. Okay, so, ganun pa rin eh. Parang, wow, mali. Okay, anyway, so, now how do we take God's name in vain? Sometimes verbally. Okay, so we misuse and we abuse God's name. You know, in making silly comments or curses. When we use God's name for silly remarks. Alam mo yon, yung parang, oh my God. Dati, you know, puro kang mura, you know, talaga. Ngayon napalitan yung language mo. Ang language mo ngayon puro na oh my God. Parang konting ano, oh my God. Oh, kahit saan ka lumingon, oh my God. May nahulog na ballpen. Ay, oh my God. Parang ganun na lang, you know. Lagi na lang oh my God. Okay, so nag-uusap kayo, oh my God. Really? Oh my God. Well, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to God? Diyos ko po. Pag nagulat ka, or pag medyo talagang okay, meron kang pinagdadaanan, buong pamilya, nabanggit mo na, Jesus Maria Josep. Parang ni-roll call mo na yung buong pamilya, you know? And sometime, naalala ko dati, I was in a, this happened in the US, no? And sakay kami ng kotse, okay, yung mom, tsaka yung mag-ina sila, and we were going somewhere, pinapasyal nila ako, and then may nakita silang aksidente. Sabi ng nanay, no, nakita, oh, praise the Lord. Nagalit yung ano. Ano ka ba, mami? Nagkabangga na nga. Praise the Lord. Because parang walang connect, eh, no? Parang hindi tugma. Okay, so inappropriate yung paggamit ng name as an expression. You know, God's name is not really an expression. There's more to that name. We need to understand the person behind that name. We're gonna go through that lately. Sometimes, okay, we misuse God's name in false affirmations. Right? Pagka may nag-cut sa'yo sa traffic, medyo nagalit ka talaga. Dahil Kristiyano ka, hindi ka pwede magmura. God bless you! Okay, so ganun na lang, eh, no? Parang, tapos ang layo-layo na talaga sa sobrang kaya mo, Jesus loves you! Talagang, dahil umuusok yung puso mo. Okay, so in false affirmation, in irreverent or disrespectful manner. Remember John Lennon, he said, you know, we're more popular than Jesus. If you remember just recent UFC fight, di ba, sino ba yun? Si, okay, yung medyo maingay na tao, you know, and I forgot his name. And sabi niya, you know, if Jesus will fight with me on the octagon, I can easily beat Jesus. His next fight, talo na siya. Okay, so probably he was humbled. I don't know. So, but you know, just disrespectful, irreverent manner. Okay, yung paggamit ng pangalan. Minsan, pag kinokorek tayo, ginagamit natin yung... Pero the Lord told, nagmamanipulate tayo ng mga bagay ng tao. Okay, by using and invoking the name of God. Some would even condemn people, okay, or would tell them, nakita ni Lord, bahala si Lord sa'yo. Parang with a condemnation, no, and a judgment. Okay, bahala ka, mananagot ka kay Lord. Some even don't utter or verbally have no guts. Jody was just saying, the man up there. Okay, the big guy up there. Okay, so another way we can misuse the name of God is in our lifestyle. When we are saying we're Christians and claiming the name of God in our lives and yet we live dishonorably. Nangungupit tayo, okay, nalalamang tayo or nagchi-cheat tayo. Wow, talagang paglabas ng grade mo, oh, thank you, Lord, pumasa ako. Nag-cheat ka naman. At least nagpasalamat kay Lord. With the way we live and what we confess, we misuse the name of God. Some would ask the blessing of God even though they live a life of disobedience against the will of God. And in doing so, really, we are misrepresenting the name of God. Not only in our verbally, not only in our lifestyle, but even in our heart, we can misrepresent God, misuse the name of God. Sometimes people think that God's name is a formula. Kasi meron kang verses sa bawat kanto ng bahay mo. Okay? So talagang obligado si Lord na i-bless ka. Dahil may sticker na fish sa sasakyan mo. Okay? Hindi ka na kailanman mababangga o babanggain. Okay? Parang, di ba? And, you know, Matthew 15 verse 8 tells us, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Wow. They say good things about God, and yet their hearts are far from me. Colossians 3:17 tells us, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. So, we take the Lord's name in vain when we misrepresent God in our words and deeds. And it's important we do not misrepresent God in the way we speak, in the way we live our lives, and even in our very hearts where no one else will see but only God. And there are consequences. And that's what the command says. Exodus 20 verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless, takes the name of the Lord in vain. And why is this serious to God? Or why do people just take the name of the Lord in vain? It's simply because, really, they don't know God. Who is God? What do we need to know about who God is? Well, number one, that God is holy. Can you say that with me? God is holy. You know, Moses, when he encountered God in Exodus 3 verse 5 in that burning bush, okay, when he saw a burning bush that was not consumed and he went near and the Lord told him, take off your sandals, Moses, for the ground that you are standing is holy. That was his first encounter with this God who called him to go and deliver the people of Israel. And so when he brought the people out of Israel, he displayed the holiness of God. In fact, right at the moment when they crossed from the Red Sea in Exodus 15, Moses sang a song. And this is what Moses said: "You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode," to whatever place that God is bringing them. It was all a holy thing. And chapter 19, prior to the verse that we read a while ago, the way that the commandments were given, there was thunder, there was lightning, there was shaking of mountains. And why is that? Because the Lord has descended. And because God is such a holy God, everything was shaken. In fact, people were not permitted to come close. There was a dividing line, or else baka masunog sila sa tindi ng holiness ni God. And that's why to a Jewish mind, to a Jewish person, they revere the Word of God so much that when a scribe will transfer, copy a scripture, parchment or whatever, pag sinulat nila, every time they encounter the name of God, the Lord, Yahweh, I Am, they will wash themselves and they will use a new pen and would write that name. Break the pen and will wash again. And then they will go back and go on using their regular pen to transfer or copy scriptures. Ganun ang reverence nila. In fact, they will not even utter the name. They will not even spell. If you ask a rabbi, a Jew of Jews, to write the name of God, they will just write G_D. Because they don't want to make a mistake in using the name. Ganun yung reverence na binibigay nila. Kaya, you hear sometimes, I heard from sometimes Jewish people are, offended or parang turn off sa mga Christian. Kasi, yun nga, a mga Christian, oh my God, oh Lord Jesus. It's just an empty expression. But for them, they give so much reverence to a very extreme, no? That they won't even utter it. Ganun po ang kultura nila. Psalms tells us to trust in His holy name, to praise His holy name. This is how we should revere the name of God, that His name is holy and awesome, that, let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. That's what the Bible says. Jesus, when asked how to pray, He said in Matthew 6 verse 9, this is how you should pray: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." The word hallowed means to make holy, to give reverence to His name, because He's no other name. It's not just some name of any gods. It's God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Father of all creation. So that's how we should treat the name of reverence. And when we begin to really understand that, there's no way you can just, make that expression. Minsan yung mga anak ko, because they get that from their school. And we reprimand them. Don't use that mouth to say such word, empty word. We really correct and reprimand them. Secondly, God's name has power. Exodus 2, 20 verse 2, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of the house of slavery." God, in His name, brought about power and deliverance for His people. God's name is so powerful that it can bring about provision. Proverbs 18 verse 10 tells us, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." The name of the Lord is so powerful that it can bring salvation. John wrote in 1 John 5:13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." Jesus Himself in Mark 16 tells how His name can bring about healing and deliverance when He said, "In My name you will cast out demons, you will lay hands on sick people, and they will get well." That's how powerful the name of God is. That's how powerful the name of Jesus is. When we misuse it, we empty its power. Lastly, God's name is the Lord. When He said, "I am the Lord your God," means He's saying, "I am yours." But when He say, "I am the Lord," He's saying that you are mine. And this is really about an intimate personal relationship. Just like marriage. in our vows between me and my wife, I said, you know, what is mine is yours and what is yours is mine. You know, I am no longer myself, but I belong to you. I'm no longer my own, but I belong to you. And you know, and it's a personal, intimate relationship. When he said, I am the Lord, your God, talks about that wonderful relationship with God. And this is what we need to understand. God is holy. That God is, you know, his name has power, so much power. And his name is the Lord. And it commands not just respect, but really relationship. Now I want us to understand that a right view of God leads to a right relationship with him. And as I close, going back to what I've said a while ago. See, our relationship with God comes with right to call his name, and it carries a reputation that should reflect God's character. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me pray. Lord, thank you because your name is holy. Your name is powerful, Lord. And your name is the Lord. Forgive us, God, that sometimes we take your name in vain, Lord. We turn it to just be an empty expression, Lord. We empty its power, Lord God, when it could heal and deliver and restore and bring forth things to come, even though they were not. Lord, thank you because you have given us your name. You have entrusted your name to us. And I pray, Lord, to your people today that there will be such reverence and awe in the way that they would carry your name, especially those who call themselves a believer, a Christian. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed today, I just want to ask some of you, if at some point in your life you misrepresented God's name, and I know sometimes I did with my attitude, with the way I talk sometimes, being harsh and being hard, will you repent? Will you come to God right now because he's your Lord and you know that he's gracious and merciful. Lord, we repent that we sometimes, Lord God, take your name in vain, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have the right attitude, the right reverence, Lord, that deep and true worship in our hearts towards who you are and the name that you are being called. If you are here today and you're believing God for healing, maybe you or a family, I want to pray for you. Can you just lift up your hands? Perhaps you are a parent and you're believing God for provision, tuition ng mga bata, anak mo, whatever that is. I just want to pray for you and ask in the name of God to bring about His power to provide and healing. Lord, you see these hands. You know their needs, Lord God. You know, Lord God, what they're going through right now. And so I pray healing to come upon their bodies, Lord. Even with their loved ones, Lord God, that you would restore them, that you would cause your name to be powerfully displayed. And along with this display of your name, Lord, a testimony will be spoken in how amazing and faithful you are. I pray for provision to come to those who are in need, Lord. Perhaps for the tuition and whatever needs they have, Lord, right now. Let the power of your name deliver your people from whatever it is that hinders them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.